I'm predicting a blowout.
Back in the day, they didn't pay the truck payment. Was looking for barns to hide them in. Billy needs to look for a barn to hide in because the repo man is looking for it.
Welcome back to episode 4 of the Southern Football Report, presented by Rivertown Running, broadcasting from the Flint Media Studios in downtown Thomasville, Georgia. The Southern Football Report is back, baby. Let's dive right on in. An introduction to today's cast. I'm your host, Dustin Dowdy. On my right, I've got Kyle Shaver back again this week. Kyle, how you doing?
Doing good. Doing good. Let's get started.
Yeah. Man, I was telling Kyle before we started recording, I got Brian Howell going, boy. I love to get Brian riled up. Now, the truth is like, you know, I can only take it so far as a Florida State fan. You know, ultimately, all that really matters is the scoreboard, whether it's 13-12 or 100. You know, what Dom say in Fast and the Furious? It doesn't matter if you win by an inch or a mile. Winning is winning.
Winning is winning.
Yeah. I'm sure Kirby probably.
You learn a whole lot more. Well, they say you learn a whole lot more with a close win.
Yeah.
Than you can with a blowout loss, right? Yeah. Or whatever, however they say it. But
I'd much rather
have to learn something off of 13-12 than learn something off of the reverse of that.
Yeah, of course. Let's just look at it. Let's get into that Kentucky versus Georgia game here on the Southern Football Report, presented by Rivertown Running. We'll start with the question, why does Georgia struggle so much on the road in Lexington 3 years in a row? 3 years in a row that this has been like within 10 points, low scoring. This one came down to, 13-12?
Yeah, 13-12. I don't know if it's a complex in Lexington. I don't know if they had, you know, that's whiskey country up there, and they had all day to get ready.
You think it was the crowd?
They were loud. Now, Georgia didn't help. And Georgia could have come out early and done something to tamper the crowd a bit, but they didn't. They come out and you go three and out, and then the crowd's fired up from the jump and you're behind the eight ball. They never calmed down. They never gave them a reason to calm down. So the crowd, I think Kentucky has a good crowd. It might just be a complex. It's just one of those things that you just, it's kind of like the Braves. Like the Nationals just give them a hard time.
Yeah.
The Nationals might be the worst team in baseball, but you best believe that when the Braves and Nationals square off, the Nationals are going to give the Braves a tough run of it. Now, maybe not this year, but there have been times where, you know, the Braves are riding high and then the Nationals just knock them down. It might just be that Kentucky is the kryptonite.
Brian Wynn, what do you think? What about you, Brian Wynn? What happened with Georgia at Kentucky?
I think South Carolina, when they play South Carolina, they got beat up on because they were looking past them. I think they're a real good team.
You think they were looking past South Carolina,
yep,
to Georgia?
I mean, Kentucky's always played Georgia tough. And the coach's wives are buddies, and the coaches are friends. And I don't know, maybe Kirby letting too much out of the bag. Pillow talk time.
Brian Howell seems to think that Kentucky, like you said, is a real good team. Brian says they're like fringe top 25. Brian couldn't be here tonight. I'm just relaying some information he sent earlier. They're fringe, like a top 25 team, and, you know, really strong on the offensive and defensive lines. And, I mean, maybe that's true, but, I mean, there are other teams that are like that that Georgia just demolishes.
Well, Georgia just didn't show up either. I mean, to me, they did, but it's like their head wasn't in it. So, I mean, you can look at numbers all day long, but Kentucky's always going to play, just like we said last week. They're always going to play Georgia tough. They're going to beat each other with hammers. We're going to get one or two people hurt bad normally.
You called that,
and
all of that.
It's going to be a slug fest. When we play Florida, it'll be that way.
So now Georgia's without their starting center. Is that right?
No, starting right guard.
Okay.
Tate Ratledge for a while.
Yeah, until the Florida game?
Yeah, he had tightrope surgery this week, which is the Brock Bowers surgery. So
what they call it now?
That's what I'm calling it. Brock Bowers surgery. He came back from it. This guy's a little bit heavier than Brock Bowers, so yeah. I don't know how quickly he'll come back. But I don't know. Yeah, as soon as it happened, I looked at my wife and I said, "Dadgummit, Brian Wynn."
Brian Wynn.
Called it.
Hey, let me ask you. Let me ask you this. Does Georgia have issues, or is Mark Stoops just Kirby's kryptonite? Because David Pollack said this week that he thinks the Georgia defense has got some issues. Now, I know they had some defensive linemen that were out in the game. And, you know, but I mean, he specifically mentioned the secondary not playing well and said that, you know, if Vandergriff had played better, that he felt like Kentucky would have won the game.
I don't know if they've got issues. I don't think they need to have. There's just some things got to get figured out. I don't think anything is uncorrectable. Everything they've done can be corrected, right? I think that you saw Jalen Walker had the game of his life. I mean, he was all over Brock Vandergriff. You know, he was chasing him down left. I think the blood on his jersey, that was Vandergriff's blood is what I understood from some commentary. But, you know, missed tackles was big, which was surprising for Georgia. I read something today. In the last 3 or 4 years, Georgia's had two games where they've had double-digit missed tackles. You going to guess those two?
Both against Kentucky?
No, this game against Kentucky, but 2 weeks ago against Tennessee Tech.
Oh.
So
that's
weeks,
a disturbing trend.
2 weeks in a row, you've got – now, Kentucky may be a bit understandable, maybe, but missing tackles against Tennessee Tech, I don't know if it's – who knows what it is. I think it's a good time for a bye week, a good way to focus on some of those things. Get a little bit healthier ahead of a big national marquee game against Alabama.
Top five matchup. Yep. Both teams have a bye week.
Yep.
This week, both ranked in the top five.
Yep.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think Georgia's got any issues. I think Georgia's one of the top three teams in the country. And, you know, we'll find out if they're the best team in the country come January. I think you could call them the best team in the country based solely on what we've seen out of them the last 2 or 3 years. And I don't care what team you are. Look back at every national championship winner over the years. There's been a close game, or there have been like a specific position group that was not, you know, number one in the country, you know, whether it's, I don't know, you know, my example I can come up with is Florida State in 2013 when they won the national championship. They couldn't get a pass rush the first 3 or 4 games of the season. They make some personnel changes and, you know, fix that problem. They were not unbeatable that year.
I don't think Georgia's defense is – I think they're good. I mean, Kentucky didn't even score a touchdown.
How could you question a defense
when the other team didn't even score a touchdown? They kicked the ball in. So, I mean, come on. I mean,
so then,
the Bulldogs is strong. Bulldogs probably go – I'm predicting all the way undefeated up until playoffs, and which I'd hate to say that, but we're so physical. There were some licks. Georgia laid some licks.
In fairness, Kentucky did too now. Yep. They brought the wood, too.
They brought it, but, man, our number four, he if you'll go back and just watch him, just don't take your eye – he just lays. So, I mean, hardly.
Something I think that some Georgia fans are discounting a little bit is, and this is going to sound kind of pretentious, but Georgia has become the Alabama of the 2010s, mm-hmm. right? The 2000s, early 2010s. Think about the game. Remember the game where Alabama goes into South Carolina and Columbia? And I think that Connor Shaw was the quarterback, or maybe was it Garcia? Maybe he was the quarterback. And South Carolina had no business on the same field Alabama that year. But they beat them. Everybody at this point is going to get up for the Dogs. Just be ready for it.
Yeah, Georgia is definitely the hunted.
They're the hunted. You're not 2017 is gone. Mm. Right? You're not going to sneak up on anybody. You're not going to go into Notre Dame and take over the stadium. Those days are over. I mean, you squarely have you've got the target on your chest, on your back, on your everywhere. And they're ready. I mean, it's just the way it is.
I agree with that 100%. If anybody is the hunted, it is Georgia.
It's everybody's Super Bowl.
Well, everybody, you know, it's like, hey, it's okay to get whooped by Georgia. They whoop everybody.
Right.
So you got nothing to lose.
Dabo Swinney said it.
Yeah.
He's like, Georgia does that to a lot of folks.
Yeah.
That's true. Coach. Remember when we don't want to hear that, but yeah, you're right.
When USC, many more years ago, early 2000s, they got beat on a Thursday night by somebody.
Mm-hmm.
Team rushes the field. Somebody shouldn't have been beat by.
Well, Florida, when they were in their heyday with Urban Meyer, got
Ole
beat
Miss.
By Ole Miss and Auburn. Remember the Auburn kicker?
Right. Yep. There's teams are just, they're going to get up for whoever the power of the day is.
Well, when you play bad, you got to figure out how to win.
Right.
And that's what happened with Georgia. They played bad, and they figured out how to win.
That's what great teams do. Bad teams play bad and lose. Good teams play bad and win about half the time. Great teams play bad and win every time. I mean, that's just what Georgia's done. Every time they've played poorly.
Right.
I mean, even the games that they've lost over the last 3 years, they played pretty well. I mean, they haven't been blown out by anybody, even the SEC championship game.
Well, Bama in 21 was – now, we avenged that loss a few short weeks, but Bama in 21 was a butt whooping.
What was it, two touchdowns?
I think it was like 17 points or something.
Was it something like that? But, I mean, even still, my point is like they didn't come out and – lay an egg. I mean, that was a competitive game.
Right. Even if you were just like Bama last year was a 3-point game, 4-point game, whatever it was. You know, it's, I think.
Even against LSU in 2019 in the SEC championship game, that was a great LSU team, one of the greatest offenses of all time.
Yeah.
I mean,
it's just the dogs themselves have to be prepared. And Kirby says this all the time. These guys didn't win anything. The ones that are playing right now, Carson Beck, he's not ever won a national championship himself. Stetson Bennett did that. He was on the team. He's got a ring. But Carson Beck wasn't the one throwing the pass for the national championship, right? And so these guys, they've not arrived. And I think Kirby's going to have to – and he's like you said earlier, he's a master motivator. And so I have full confidence that
– Oh, this is the worst thing that could have happened to college football was Georgia to have a close win versus Kentucky.
and get – ranked number 2 in the AP. Yeah. Kirby was like eating that for breakfast. He's like, this is great.
I'm going to fire him up.
It's the worst thing that could have happened to college football. Like, everybody, Alabama next week, good luck, y'all. I'm predicting a blowout. I predict that, just like Brian Wynn said, they're going to blow everybody out, except for maybe Texas, between now and the SEC championship game. And we'll all be like, man, what happened versus Kentucky?
Well, I can go home. I feel good now as a dog fan. That just made me feel real good.
Listen, I've read this book before, you know. Back to your point, too, about being the hunted and being the team that, you know, everybody gets up for the game. It's their Super Bowl. I understand what you're saying there. There are certain teams that the logo just incites something in the opposing team. Mm-hmm. Like they want to be able to say, we beat Georgia.
Oh, yeah.
Or we almost beat Georgia. Like we played Georgia closer than anybody. Alabama's another one. Like, I don't care if Alabama's good, bad, average. You beat Alabama and you're like, yeah, we beat Alabama.
Well, man, it's just like Notre Dame. It doesn't matter how bad Notre Dame is. If you beat Notre Dame, even the years they were terrible, you're going to hang that picture in the football facility because you beat Notre Dame.
All right, let's talk about a team that used to feel that way and no longer does. Texas A&M goes on the road and destroys Florida 33-20. Now, I know, Kyle, that you know you were kind of in some ways hoping that Billy, you know, just from a family friend perspective, you know, want to see him have some, you know, personal level of success, not necessarily professional, but personally, you know, man, how much longer does he have?
Days. If he lives in Mississippi State this weekend, he might as well just call his wife and just say, baby, let's get the bags and let's ride.
I got some buddies that back in the day didn't pay their truck payment, was looking for barns to hide them in. Billy needs to look for a barn to hide in because the repo man is looking for him.
His truck payment's going to be fine.
He's making plenty
million.
Of money.
Yeah.
But, talking about $26 million, I heard today on the radio – apparently, they've already raised. They already have committed the $26 million to cover the buyout.
Yeah, they got the money in Gainesville. That ain't the question. Yeah, I mean, going to Mississippi State this week, Mississippi State's lost to Arizona State and Toledo. They don't look good. Mississippi State's probably the worst team, probably in the SEC, maybe in the Power Four. I mean, at the end of the year, Mississippi State might have 2 wins.
Cool.
Yeah. Florida's got to win this one.
They better. Oh, two men in a truck gonna be sitting out front. Old Billy.
They say he might be like Lane Kiffin and not make it on the plane on the way back.
Man,
leave him on the tarmac.
He'd be calling Avis.
Listen, if I'm Billy and they fire me, I'm pulling the old Ed Orgeron. Which door you want me to go out of, and when you want me to leave? They gave Ed Orgeron $17 million to go home. Cuz just took it to the beach. You know,
can't blame him.
Got him. Hey, listen, in $26 million, I do a lot of things. $26 million.
Oh man, you hear about some of these coaches too. Like Jimbo Fisher said not long ago that he was paying attention to teams this year because he still had the coaching itch. He was going to be watching a lot of film and see if there was a good situation for him. And I'm like, dude, you just got $75 million to go to the house.
Yeah.
You want to coach somebody's football team and deal with 18 to 22-year-olds again?
And the media and the pressure of boosters. Yeah. Those coaches are motivated different. I mean, money doesn't motivate. I mean, it does. But they have a different tick in them than we all do, I think.
Full circle, bring that back to a question I asked y'all the other day on the group chat. How long does Kirby, you know, let's just assume that Kirby wins, let's just say he wins two or three more national championships in the next 6-7 years, which is certainly possible. And the game changes because it's evolving every day to the point where Kirby doesn't like the game anymore. How long does with the competitive drive and the fire that we still see from Kirby, is he the type that could just say, no, man, I'm done with this. I'm going to the house. I got my, you know, $100 million or $200 million, whatever he's made.
I think if politics would run him off faster than anything.
You think he'd get tired of that?
Yeah, the top end of how college football is run, Georgia.
Right. All the having to entice players every year and have to recruit, own.
That.
Yeah. If it's just ball, I think you got a guy in Kirby who'll do ball all the time. I mean, goodness gracious, my dad's a football coach, and he will coach to the day he dies if it's not for everything else, right? I mean, it's I think you're right though. It's the, all the outside things that play into it that these coaches just not going to be tired of. Nick Saban coaching until 70 is going to be an anomaly. I think
what's going to hurt football is safety.
Oh, yeah.
Of players.
Mama's not wanting their babies to play?
Yeah, well, it's getting weaker and weaker now. I mean, you should keep the boys healthy. But I think it's going to get more and more stringent on, and it's eventually just not even going to be football.
Yeah, look at the kickoffs in the NFL right now.
Yeah, most boring thing in sports.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
And somebody like Kirby and these other coaches, not just him. Kirby's just a
head buster.
Yeah, but he's a crayon eater.
Yeah. By the way, Kyle, your dad even prays like a football coach. in the meeting at church the other day, he had the prayer at the end of the meeting, and I'm like, man, I feel like I'm in the locker room. He even prays like
a football
coach. Well,
you've been doing it 40 years almost. That's just kind of what you do.
Yeah. How about Bama's big win over Wisconsin while we're doing our review? This is something I need to publicly say. This is 2 weeks in a row. I got something bad wrong. I said Bama might go up there. I didn't think they'd lose necessarily, but I didn't think they'd win 42-10.
I agree with you. I was right there with you. I didn't either. Good on them. Good on Kellen DeBoer. What else you gonna say? I mean, Bama went up there and did Bama things.
Yeah, they looked like Alabama, didn't they? Yeah.
I mean, but it don't sound like much. You beat Wisconsin.
Yeah, but if they'd have lost to Wisconsin,
I mean, that'd have been bad. But I mean, Wisconsin. I mean,
yeah.
I saw a video.
Wisconsin.
Yeah, Wisconsin does the jump around in the fourth quarter, and there was like nobody left.
Yeah.
And the Bama players were jumping around on the sideline. I wonder if Nick Saban would let jump around happen down there. I don't know. But, I mean, they went up there and did what they would have done had Nick Saban been there on the sidelines too. They'd have won 42-10 or, you know, 49-10 or whatever.
Overrated.
Bama.
Yeah.
Oh, I agree with you. I think Georgia's going to work them.
I hope we work them over like a redheaded step youngin.
I think Georgia's going to work. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if Kirby doesn't use this as an opportunity to say, hey, Kalen, listen, the man before you was the man, and I took it from him, and you can't take it from me.
Oh, yeah.
And proves a point.
He ought to.
I'm a firm believer that Kirby understands, like, the dynamics of the sport outside of Athens. so understands that like a strong Alabama is a threat to Georgia, and he has not had the opportunity to weaken Alabama besides trying to beat him in an SEC championship game or something like that. If he gets the opportunity to embarrass Alabama, his old buddy ain't on the other sideline anymore.
No.
And I didn't see, like, when the game started getting tough with Kentucky, the play calling still didn't – they didn't throw anything new in there.
Almost like they knew they could
– Yeah, they could edge it out. I didn't see anything new. And so I think you're going to see when it – with Alabama,
yeah,
I think he's going
to
bring it all
out. That, I hate to go back to Georgia on this, but I watched some stuff this week. I subscribed to On3, the dog's version of that. And they had a film review. There was some things. It seemed like, from this guy's perspective, Jake Rowe at On3, it seemed like Carson Beck was a bit tentative, that he was okay checking it down. He was okay hitting the safe. He wasn't really cutting it loose, right? You didn't see him really turn loose on it till that drive. They had to have it. Mm. I mean, in the fourth quarter, they had to score. And then once again in the drive where you had to get a first down to be able to kind of run the clock out. They didn't do that, but to be able to run the clock out, they had to have some first downs. Carson Beck seemed a bit reserved. I don't know if that was by design, if it was Kirby going into a hostile environment in Kentucky and saying, hey, guys, we just got to get out of here with a win. It don't matter. Like, we just got to get out of here. We can win by one. We can win by 40. But we got to win. You know, and his big thing is, you know, it's hard to win on the road in the SEC. And I know the other conferences hate it, and that's just what he says. I mean, I believe it. And we'll talk about that some later in the podcast, but with some games coming up this week. But you know, I hope you're right about what happens next week, and I guess we'll get to that in a few days.
Let's take a look at our picks from last week. So we picked five games in the SEC versus the spread. Brian Wynn, man, you almost edged out Brian Howell. Brian Howell takes the lead in the standings after our first week of picks. Brian Howell was 4-1. Brian Wynn, you were 3-2. Kyle, you were 2-3. Dustin was a simple 1-4. So I got like the winners right in a couple of them, but I did not do well against the spread. Let's just look back at that. First of all, Kyle, we'll start with you. You picked the Gators to cover 3.5. That was one of your losses.
Mm.
You also picked Wisconsin to cover. And you pick Georgia to cover. So yep. Georgia wins the game.
Doesn't cover the 24.5. Yeah.
You got South Carolina covering the 7 against LSU, right?
Yeah, well, South Carolina getting 7. Yeah. And I had Boston College getting 16. And those were good.
Those turned out good.
But Wisconsin, Florida, and my dogs let me down.
Brian Wynn, you got Texas A&M over Florida, right? You missed LSU covering the 7 points. You picked them to cover. They won, but didn't cover. You got Boston College right. We all, well, except for Brian Howell, got the Wisconsin Bama wrong. You did correctly guess that Kentucky would cover the 23.5.
Oh, yeah.
You said it was going to be a dogfight.
It was.
Brian Howell got Texas A&M covering their 3.5 and winning. South Carolina covering the 7. Boston College covering the 16, Bama beating Wisconsin by 16 or more. He got that right. He also predicted that Georgia would win and cover. And we know Georgia won, but they didn't cover. And then finally, my picks, man, I got A&M. I got that one right.
You just couldn't pick the Gators.
Well, I ain't going to. A&M beating Florida and the 3.5-point spread. I predicted that LSU would win 27-10. They didn't. They did win the game, but they didn't win by that much. I also predicted that Missouri would beat Boston College by more than 16. That didn't happen. I predicted that Wisconsin would cover the 16 versus Bama. That didn't happen. And I also predicted that Georgia would cover the 23.5 and win. That didn't happen.
You know, I think the best game of the weekend to me was South Carolina LSU. I mean, yeah, that game was – it was Carolina comes out to a big lead. Quarterback gets hurt. It gets tight. Carolina has a chance – and takes a big lead, probably seals the game with a pick, 100-yard pick six, gets it called back for a terrible penalty. The guy blocked the quarterback with his arms extended and gets a penalty. And then ends up, you know, having a field goal to win and misses it by a couple feet. That was an awesome game. I enjoyed watching that one.
We're going to pick here in just a few minutes some more games in the SEC and then other games of interest. Before we get to that, let's take a look at this Tennessee at Oklahoma game, a matchup of top 15 teams Saturday, Tennessee at Oklahoma. If I'm not mistaken, I think Tennessee is favored.
They are. Tennessee is favored in that one, a road favorite in that one. And it's also Josh Heupel's return to Oklahoma after, I think he
was fired.
Was he fired as their OC there?
Yep.
After being, was he a Heisman guy?
He was a Heisman candidate. I can't remember if he won the Heisman.
I don't
Heisman.
Think he won the Heisman.
But quarterback in Oklahoma.
Right. But a successful quarterback in Oklahoma. So he's going back. I'm sure he has some revenge he'd like to take there.
I you know, I've had Oklahoma as my underrated team.
Yeah.
I don't think
so. You think they're going to beat top 10 ranked Tennessee?
Oh, yeah. I think so. I think it's going to be the ball game to watch right there for me. I'm excited about it.
That one's coming on Saturday.
It's also welcome to the SEC for Oklahoma, I believe.
Yeah.
A lot of welcomes this weekend. All the new teams are playing in their new conference for the first time.
They beat Tulane, what, 34-19?
Something like that, yeah.
So this is Oklahoma and Tennessee's first three opponents. Both teams, their opposing team's season record is 2-7.
Yeah, they haven't played anybody.
Neither one of them. I mean, NC State's the most kind of – they're 2-1.
Yeah, and they were a ranked team.
And they were a ranked team when Tennessee beat them. But both teams have played teams that are not good. We're going to find out this weekend how good both of them are. And it's back to – is a win on the – how hard is it to play in the SEC on the road? Back to week one, is OU the SEC? Me and Brian Howell, I'll tell you, heck no.
They better be running them boys up them Smoky Mountains, getting them in shape.
You think so?
Oklahoma going to bring that wood, son.
If Tennessee goes to Oklahoma and wins, are we going to hear like, well, it's tough to go and win on the road in the SEC?
You're going
to
hear it. You'll hear it. I just can't get my mind around Oklahoma and Texas in the SEC. But I do. I hope you're right, Brian. I hope. My heart tells me. The Sooners, my head tells me you got to pick Tennessee. And can we all agree, is there a more obnoxious fan base when they're winning than Tennessee?
I don't like Tennessee.
I don't know, man. There's one down in Coral Gables that's going to get real.
And I guess I just don't have that context.
Yeah.
So that's everybody has that team. But Tennessee's a pretty obnoxious bunch when it comes to
I wanted to punch their baseball coach in the face, and I wasn't even at the game.
You know? The only other game that's going to be good is Miami and
USF. We might find out who the best team in Florida is.
Yep, it ain't Florida State. Florida.
Hold on, is it USF or UCF?
USF.
USF.
The USF that went to Tuscaloosa.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
I'm picking them.
Are you?
Yes, sir. I hope so. Miami just ain't my.
I'm with you.
I just, that ain't my flavor.
I don't like them either, but. I'll say this, like, there was a time when USF would beat you. I mean, they came to
Jim
Tallahassee.
Levitt.
Yeah, they came to Tallahassee and brought Jason Pierre-Paul on the defensive line and one other defensive end that got drafted and beat Florida State 17-7. Now, that wasn't a very good Florida State team, but.
Well, you know, man, I hope Lance Galvin's listening to this so he can stick his lip out. But
yeah,
I think they're going. They'll be on the front cover of ESPN, the talking points, highlight.
Taking the L.
Taking the L,
well,
baby.
If USF, if USF beats Miami, then they're probably the best team in the state.
Oh, yes.
Which is wild to say.
Isn't that something?
All right, let's look at it. Speaking of football teams in the state of Florida, my favorite team, Florida State, desperately searching for a win, hosting Cal. Cal coming off of their 3-0 on the season. They've got a win on the road in the SEC, which counts for like three or four more.
Apparently.
They went and beat Auburn 21-14. They're coming to Tallahassee, Florida State's 2.5-point favorite. We're not going to pick this one just yet because that's one of our picks coming up later. But a name that you'll recognize, Kyle, Lee County running back.
It was Monty Cromer.
There you go. He's visiting FSU this weekend. sure would be nice to get a win on the right side of
now,
the ledger.
I sent y'all a screenshot of a post on Facebook this past weekend of a recruit's dad that was talking about the game down in Tallahassee last weekend, and it was not.
It ain't good.
It didn't sound good down there in Tallahassee from a recruit's family's perspective. We'll see how. Are we ready to believe in Florida State yet?
I'm still believing.
Can Cal come across the country, cross three time zones, and win twice? We're gonna find out.
DJ, all right. Here you go, right here. You ready for this? Last year, DJU played Cal as the quarterback at Oregon State. He threw 5 touchdowns.
Okay.
He threw for 275 yards. No interceptions. If he stinks it up against Cal in Tallahassee, I don't know what to think.
If he has half the game he had against them last year,
they win.
Let's just say it's 3 touchdowns and an interception.
Yeah.
All right, one more interception and 2 less touchdowns. Florida State wins by 3 touchdowns.
Yeah.
We'll see.
I don't think he's going to. But
I don't know, man. Something just ain't.
I thought about this. You ever play with somebody, any sport, that was just better than everybody else, and he was on your team, and so by, like, extension, you found yourself playing a little bit better? You ever felt that way? Like,
it's like the guy that brings everybody up with him.
A rising tide lifts all ships.
Yeah.
I think the opposite is true, too. Like, if you've got a dude that you have no confidence in on the mound in a baseball game, and you're a, you know, all-region type shortstop, what are the odds that you're like, man, this dude stinks? Oh, here's the ball. Oh, my gosh, I made an error.
Yeah.
You know, maybe that's it.
Florida State needs a fast start. They need to get out there. They need to score a couple touchdowns early. DJU needs some confidence.
Hey, listen, let's start with just scoring a couple touchdowns.
Yeah.
We haven't done that since Ireland.
Yeah, it'll...
Averaging 15 points a game, Brian Wynn.
I don't even want to talk about Florida State. And the coach made me mad this week, getting on there. Well, you know, we started the season off with 3 of the hardest teams.
I don't think that was real.
That had to be AI generated.
I don't think that's
real. I hope it would.
I hadn't heard him say that. I think that was a internet scan.
Yeah. Yeah, I hope it was.
Ain't no way. If he did, then I'm mad at him too.
Yeah, if he really said that. Yeah. No.
I mean, it's one thing to say, like, we haven't found ourselves, we still got to figure things out, whatever. But let's not pretend like we just played Bama, Georgia, and, you know.
Yeah, you played nobody, really.
Yeah, I mean, you know, you might have played a couple of bowl teams. You might have played a team that makes the playoff.
Yeah.
But you ain't played.
No, not no crayon either.
No.
Nah.
No. And listen, I don't care who you play. You score 15 points at home.
Yeah, the season you had last year.
Yeah.
It don't matter who you play.
Yeah. All right, let's move on from my pathetic Florida State Seminoles, which are going to get it right. They're going to get it right, y'all. To USC at Michigan. This is a big game this weekend for Michigan, in my opinion. USC's favored by 5.5 on the road at Michigan. We'll pick this one coming up in just a minute. Any thoughts on that one, USC at Michigan?
I hope Michigan wins, even though I don't like them.
Okay. Kind of upset the narrative.
I just ain't big on nothing out of California.
Yeah, Alex Orji was named the starter. It's the first time he's named a starter all year. I think he's completed like 10 passes all year.
This is the Michigan quarterback.
Michigan quarterback. Yeah, what's the guy's name? Miller Moss? I call him Doogie Howser. He looks like Doogie Howser to me.
Yeah. Eminem.
So Alex Orji was named the starter this week. First time. Lincoln Riley said, because he hasn't passed the ball well all year. They were interviewing Lincoln Riley, and Lincoln Riley said something. If you've made it this far in college athletics, college football specifically, you can throw the ball a little bit.
DJU begs to differ.
They're expecting Alex Orji to throw the ball some. He's a good runner. That's a hard game to pick. It's a hard game to pick. I don't want either one of them to win. Is that one of those ones that Salem can just fall in and we can just, like,
that's
nobody
how
can
I felt
win?
About Miami, Florida.
Right.
All right, let's move on to overrated, underrated. I've got overrated. I got Michigan at 18, and maybe, I'm putting this one in maybes, I maybe have Miami overrated at number 8. Now, that one might end up biting me, but I think Michigan's, I'm not going to reveal my pick just yet, but I think they're overrated at 18.
I got Nebraska overrated at 22. They're kind of like Boston College in a sense. I think they're getting credit for a win over Colorado at home. That I don't know. That's it.
I don't know. No, Nebraska used to bring fire, baby. Back yeah, in the you, 90s.
The key word there was used to bring the fire.
Yeah, they used to bring it. They might be so back.
They're ranked for the first time since 2019.
That's my third favorite team.
I hated them in the 90s because Florida State.
I like it because them big old boys just grind 2 or 3 yards all the way down the field.
But I've got them 22 overrated. They have a ranked game on a Friday night tomorrow night against Illinois. So we'll see how that goes. We're recording this on Thursday, so we'll see quickly if they're overrated or not.
How about you, Brian Wynn? You got anybody overrated or underrated?
I got Miami overrated this week.
You think so, too?
And this is why. I think they're good, but they're very shallow. I think you get a couple of injuries, they're done.
Yeah, I'm curious to see what Miami's offensive and defensive line does when they get into, like, some straight-up real competition. We know they got a good quarterback.
Yep.
USF was able to run the ball on Alabama.
Mm-hmm.
If they run the ball on Miami and that's a close game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
As long as they got no depth, I don't think.
Anyway. Let's move to our picks as we've got 5 on the list again this week. We'll start with Florida at Mississippi State. Florida's a 6-point favorite. I better write this down. Let me see here. UF at Mississippi State is number 1. Brian Wynn, who you got?
I'm going to pick Florida, even though I don't want to. I think Billy don't want 2 men in a truck there quite yet. So he's going to figure something out.
He's going to figure it out.
He may be gone by then. I don't know who they put in there to cover it for him. But, yeah, Florida cover.
Okay. Kyle?
I got Florida covering the 6 points also. The Cowbells will not be enough to beat the Gators this weekend.
Okay. All right.
Chomp, chomp.
You got Brian Howell's stuff there?
I could probably get it. Why don't you go ahead and give us yours, and I can get Brian Howell's.
I'm taking Florida to cover. They'll win. They'll win by 7 or more.
It's like Brian's got Florida the same. I think we're all going with Florida to cover, yeah.
All right. USC is a 5.5-point favorite at Michigan. Brian Wynn?
Michigan. Yeah, I think they cover.
Michigan covers. Okay. Kyle?
That was a tough one to pick for me. I couldn't decide who I wanted to win, but I got USC covering the 5.5, even at Michigan.
Yeah, me too. Brian Howell's got,
I think Brian Howell, he's got USC to win Michigan with the points. So he's taking Michigan at home.
Okay. So Michigan.
Michigan getting 5.5.
All right.
Keeping it close.
My decrepit Seminoles are hosting Cal. Florida State is a 2.5-point favorite. Who you got?
I got the Noles getting right this week.
Okay.
I got FSU covering the 2.5. Got a good field goal. Ryan Fitzgerald can kick a field goal from like Coolidge to Tallahassee.
I know, right?
And he's like a 59-yarder, a 55-yarder.
They've always had a good.
Joker can kick.
We were talking about draft picks earlier today, and it got me thinking, like, Florida State had 10 draft picks last year. And I'm like, man, I don't know if we're going to have any draft picks this year. And you know what? Yes, we will. Ryan Fitzgerald and Alex Mastromano are punter. Like, both of those.
They've always had good kickers.
Yeah.
He's a good kicker. I'll give him that. He's a good kicker.
Brian Wynn, who you got? Cal at Florida State. Florida State's favored by 2.5.
I'll go with Florida State, and they'll cover. I don't think they will, but I'm going to pick them just because I love them. But
Brian Howell took Cal.
Brian Howell took Cal at 2.5. He's not a believer yet. Not a true believer.
He's probably going to get it right. Like, I hope he's wrong, but he's probably going to get it right. I'm taking Florida State. I ain't picking Cal.
Nah.
All right. Tennessee, 7-point favorite at Oklahoma. Start with you, Brian Wynn.
I'm going to give Oklahoma 14 over.
Ooh, Oklahoma by 14.
Yep.
Okay. Kyle?
I got Tennessee winning by 10. It's going to be close to the fourth quarter. Tennessee will squeak out something late. Tennessee by 10.
I'm going to take my heart says Oklahoma. I'm taking Oklahoma. Who's Brian Howell got?
Brian Howell's got Tennessee to cover.
Based on his record last week, I might should just pick whoever just pick he picks.
He gave them to us early, so we could have cheated.
Arkansas at Auburn is our final game. Auburn is a 3-point favorite in this one. Kyle?
I think I've got Arkansas. Yeah, I've got Arkansas getting 3 points. I think I trust old Sam Pittman.
Okay, so you got Arkansas. Brian?
I'll go with Arkansas.
I'm taking Auburn.
Just because Nicole graduated from Auburn. And she sat them claws in me for since we've been.
And Brian Howell took.
Brian Howell took Auburn.
Oh.
All right. So to recap, Brian Wynn, you're taking Florida, Michigan, Florida State, Oklahoma, Arkansas.
Either I'm going with. I ain't happy, but yeah.
Kyle Shaver, you got Florida, USC, Florida State, Tennessee, Arkansas. Brian Howell's got Florida, Michigan, Cal, Tennessee, Auburn. And I've got Florida, USC, Florida State, Oklahoma, Auburn. I got to be honest with you. Florida State might lose to Cal. That could absolutely happen. I see the path to that happening.
Well, Josh Lajeunesse picked 0-4.
But I ain't picking Florida and then against Florida State. I just ain't doing it. All right. Who you got on upset alert? I've got Clemson.
They're like a 20-point favorite.
20-point favorite. I'm not saying NC State's going to win, and I know y'all must think I'm an NC State fan, but if NC State burns me again, I won't pick them at all the rest of the year. But I'm picking them to cover the 20 points against Clemson.
I mean, you know I'm going to pick. Oklahoma's going to upset Tennessee.
Okay. Kyle?
I've got Georgia Tech over Louisville.
I got them on my list, too.
I didn't think about that.
Cool stat. I saw on ESPN today, Georgia Tech is one of 8 teams to have not given up a sack thus far in 2024.
Really?
Only 8 teams have not given up a sack. I don't know who the other 7 are, but they're one of 8 that hadn't done it.
I think Georgia Tech won that game last year.
They're a dog in this game.
Let's look it up.
Louisville's ranked like what? 19th, 20th, somewhere in that, depending on which.
Louisville. No, they lost the game last year to Louisville. It was the season opener. They lost it 39-34. And I remember thinking,
did Louisville win late in that game? Maybe it might have been one of they scored in the fourth quarter a couple times.
Well, Louisville was one of those teams like preseason picked to make the ACC championship, one of like 3 teams because of their schedule. Like, oh, they opened with Georgia Tech and then South Carolina State, and then they barely beat Georgia Tech, and we were all like, well, man, maybe Louisville stinks. Well, they ended up having a pretty good year. Louisville made the ACC championship game last year. They beat Georgia Tech last year 39-34. That was in Atlanta. If I'm not mistaken, Georgia Tech is on the road at Louisville.
Then they're a double-digit.
10.5 points.
Yeah, double-digit dog.
Yeah, I could see that. I'm in some ways regretting my NC State pick after what happened with the Tennessee game not long ago. All right, let's move on from our upset alert to our top 12. Who wants to go first? Now, keep in mind, listeners, sometimes we rank our top 12s as a power rankings. Some of us do it as what we think the final season poll will look like and the playoff picture. So we'll start with you, Brian. Let's go with you. Who Bottom you got up. In your top 12, starting with number 12?
Number 12, power ranking, UCLA, Utah, Oklahoma, Penn State, Miami, Missouri, Ole Miss, Alabama, Tennessee, Ohio State, Texas, and Georgia.
All right. UCLA. Yeah, they play LSU this weekend. Okay. Kyle?
All right. Mine is unchanged from last week. Memphis, this is a prediction of the of the final 12, college football playoff 12, Memphis at 12, Tennessee at 11, Alabama at 10, Oklahoma State at 9, USC at 8, Ole Miss at 7, Oregon at 6, Texas at 5, Utah at 4, Miami at 3, Ohio State at 1, Georgia, or Ohio State at 2, Georgia at 1, and like Nick Saban said, somebody's got to beat Georgia to prove otherwise. And still one by one.
Yeah. All right, so I've got mine is somewhat changed. Some of it's still the same.
He had some oars last week.
I had some oars. I have no oars this week. I've just gone with straight-up starters this week. My number 12 team, I was really hoping I would have to change because for the first few weeks of the season, I've been putting Memphis as my group of five representative in the college football playoff. I was really hoping that they would have a resume-busting loss after last Saturday. They might have gotten a resume-boosting win, depending on how the rest of the season plays out for Florida. So, I mean, you know, you go and you beat a Power Four team on the road.
They don't play anybody else the rest of the year.
As a group of five team. That you know, especially if that team, if Florida State can put some pieces together and finish, you know, with six or seven wins or something, they'll say, well, they beat this bowl team. You know, whatever. At number 11, my Big 12 runner-up, Utah. Now, I have them as the Big 12 runner-up. They're playing who I'm predicting to be the Big 12 champion this weekend. Utah and Oklahoma State quietly going on out there and, you know, that part of the country. I've got Utah at number 11. At number 10, my ACC runner-up, a team that I think will be 10-3 after the ACC championship game, Clemson. I think Clemson goes into that game 10-2. I think they lose the ACC championship game to finish as the runner-up in the conference. And so Clemson makes the playoff as a three-loss team, but one of those losses coming in the ACC championship game. At number 9, USC. At number 8, Alabama. So if you're keeping score, 8 versus 9, Bama versus USC in Tuscaloosa. Now I've got Bama as my number 4 SEC team. Just FYI. At number 7, my third-ranked SEC team, and I don't know how you quantify that because, you know, how it all works out, but I've got Ole Miss coming in at number 7 as the number 3 team out of the SEC. At number 6, I've got my Big Ten runner-up, Oregon. At number 5, my SEC runner-up, Texas.
It's one me and Brian were waiting for. We were waiting for that one.
Oh, you thought I was going to go with Georgia?
I didn't know. We'll see.
No, I'm still picking Georgia. So I think, I'm going to say it again. I think Texas wins the regular season game. I think Georgia wins the rematch in the SEC championship game. And these other teams are probably going to have some losses too. So I got Georgia winning the conference. At number 4, my Big 12 champ, Oklahoma State. At number 3, until proven otherwise, the team that I think is the best in the ACC, Miami. At number 2, Ohio State. And at number 1, the top dogs, the Georgia Bulldogs. No faith? You thought I was going to pick?
I didn't know. Everybody's doubting the dogs this week.
I don't know, man. I think Georgia's just – I'm not in any
way. I like it. I like the spot they're in. I like it. I like a little bit of doubt.
See, I think a lot of that doubt, too, is internal. Like, I think dog fans are doubting the dogs.
It's a Larry Munson in all of us, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, AP put Texas at 1.
Yeah.
Power rankings in ESPN got Texas at 1. It's a national doubt. It certainly is a national doubt. Very much more so in the South, but it's a national doubt.
I like the doubt. This is some more of that Kirby Smart, like, contrived motivational talk. Like they don't believe in you. I honestly, if you were to listen to Brian Howell's opinion on the Kentucky game and you didn't know better, you would think he was a Kentucky fan. And I mean, that's like most of the people I know that aren't dog fans look at that game and go, oh yeah, that ain't representative of what's coming out of Athens.
No.
That was a blip on the radar.
Kentucky's good. It's just they always play us hard.
But Brian Wynn got us an injury.
Yeah. We're going to get more.
Stop.
You play hard, you're going to get hurt.
We don't need any more of those, Brian Wynn.
Georgia's been fortunate in a lot of ways over the last couple of years. Now, they've had depth to cover up the injuries they've had. You know, Alabama seemed to always be fortunate on the offensive and defensive lines when it came to injuries. Like, their dudes were just never hurt. You know, at some point, you look at the Braves this year. They go into this season stacked preseason favorites to win the NL East for good reason. And, like, the injury bug just hits them. And, I mean, at some point, that's going to happen to the Ohio States or the Georgias or Bamas or whoever else of the world. I hope it's not this year, though. I need Georgia to pound Alabama out of the conversation for a couple of years before Georgia has their rotation off, if that makes sense.
It's all cyclical, right?
That's what they say. Bobby Bowden said it. We didn't want to hear it when he said it, but he said, oh, man, you know, everybody, as a matter of fact, I think it was after that USF game, he said, well, half the teams out there lost today. And Florida State fans said, Coach, we don't want to hear that. Like,
I mean, I think God gives everybody their time, and then it's over.
I think Georgia's time's got another 5 or 6 years on it. After that, Kirby's going to retire. It's going to be, you know, they're going to hire like Dan Mullen. And
oh, goodness gracious. Please not.
That's been episode 4 of the Southern Football Report presented by Rivertown Running. Thank you so very much for tuning in on the Flint Media family of radio stations. You can also download this and take it with you on your favorite podcast app, whether that's Spotify or Apple Podcast. Also, by the way, if you enjoy the show on the podcast app, do us a favor, download it, and then rate and review the show. That helps us with our visibility when it comes to being on the list there. So, Southern Football Report presented by Rivertown Running. Episode 4 is in the books. We'll revisit next week and see how we did. Thanks, guys. Welcome back to the midweek edition of the Southern Football Report, presented by Rivertown Running. In the middle of the week, each week, we take a look at the top 25 and give you our thoughts, a quick little review, if you will, of the AP poll that came out earlier this week. Let's dive right on in. Starting at the bottom, number 25, making their way back into the top 25 rankings after a big win over the University of Florida last week, Texas A&M. Texas A&M plays Bowling Green this week. At number 24, into the rankings, just in time for a top 25 matchup at Nebraska this week. Number 24, Illinois, 3-0 on the season after a 30-9 win over Central Michigan. At number 23, Northern Illinois, staying in the top 25. They were off last week after defeating Notre Dame the week before. Northern Illinois is 2-0 on the season. They host Buffalo. At number 22, the aforementioned Cornhuskers, 3-0 on the season after a big 34-3 win over Northern Iowa. They're ranked number 22 in the country as they are hosting number 24, Illinois, this weekend. At number 21, 1-1 on the season, up one spot after being off last week, Clemson comes in at number 21. They're hosting NC State. At number 20, the Iowa State Cyclones, up one spot after being off last week as well. They're hosting Arkansas State. Number 19, holding serve at 2-0 on the season, the Louisville Cardinals. They were off last week, and they host Georgia Tech. At number 18, 2-1 on the season, down one spot after a narrow 10-point win at home versus Arkansas State. Michigan Wolverines seem to be trending in the wrong direction. They're hosting number 11 USC this weekend. At number 17, Notre Dame up one spot after a big, big road win versus Purdue, 66-7. The Notre Dame Fighting Irish will host Miami of Ohio. At number 16, LSU holding serve, not moving up or down after narrowly defeating South Carolina on the road. But hey, a road win in the SEC, right? LSU defeated South Carolina 36-33. They're hosting UCLA this weekend. Big favorites over UCLA. I think they're favored by 24.5. Number 15, Oklahoma. Welcome to the SEC. Hosting number 6, Tennessee this weekend. Coming off a big 34-19 win over Tulane, Oklahoma at 3-0 on the season. Ranked number 15. One spot above them, their in-state rival, the Oklahoma State Cowboys, 3-0 on the season, down one spot after defeating Tulsa 45-10. Yeah, you heard that right. They dropped a spot after beating Tulsa by 35 points. They're playing number 12, Utah. The big question is whether or not Utah will be with or without their quarterback, Cam Rising. At number 13, another Big 12 team, Kansas State, up one spot after defeating top 20 Arizona 31-7. Kansas State is on the road at BYU. The aforementioned Utah Utes, 3-0 on the season, defeated their in-state rival, Utah State, 38-21. They're at Oklahoma State this weekend. Number 11, USC, off last week, 2-0 on the season, at number 18, Michigan. At number 10, down two spots after the bye week, Penn State. Finally, we're starting to see Penn State move a little bit in the downward direction. They're 2-0 on the season. They're hosting Kent State. At number 9, coming off of a big rivalry win, Oregon at Oregon State this past weekend. Oregon prevailed 49-14. They're off this week. Number 8, Miami, up two spots after a big 62-0 win over Ball State. Miami is 3-0 on the season, although who have they played? We'll find out in what might be a game between the two best teams in the state of Florida, Miami at USF this weekend. Missouri down one spot after defeating Boston College 27-21. Missouri continues the gauntlet of a schedule as they host Vanderbilt. Number 6, Tennessee, 3-0 on the season, defeated Kent State 71-0 last week. They're at number 15, Oklahoma. Number 5, Ole Miss, continues their winning ways by defeating Wake Forest 40-6. That was on the road, by the way. They return home to host the Georgia Southern Eagles. Number 4, Alabama, big win on the road at Wisconsin, 42-10. Alabama's 3-0 on the season. They're off this week as they're preparing for the Georgia Bulldogs. Number 3, Ohio State, off last week, 2-0 on the season at home versus Marshall. At number 2, dropping a spot for the first time this season, the University of Georgia, 3-0 on the season, coming off a narrow, nail-biting, stomach-churning win at Kentucky, 13-12. The Bulldogs are off this week as well as they prepare for the Crimson Tide. And for the first time, number 1 in the country, University of Texas, 3-0 on the season, coming off a big win versus UTSA, 56-7. They continue their week schedule, and that includes Michigan, I think, this week at home versus UL Monroe. Honestly, this week, I'm not sure that the poll is all that wrong. You know, typically there are one or two teams that probably don't belong in the top 25. Maybe they're there for matchup reasons, or maybe they're there because they beat an overrated team or something along those lines. I really don't see that with this week's top 25. A few teams that are right on the line, receiving votes but not making their way in. Memphis after their win over Florida State. Boston College after their narrow loss to Missouri. Syracuse, right on the edge as well. We'll see what week 4 in college football holds. We're starting to get some separation from the top and the bottom, and some big games coming up in the next couple of weeks that might provide even more. That's been your midweek top 25 review here on the Southern Football Report, presented by Rivertown Running. We look forward to seeing you this weekend as we review and preview, give you our top 12, tell you who's overrated and underrated, and make a few picks on the weekend edition of the Southern Football Report presented by Rivertown Running. Thanks again. We'll talk to you soon. Rivertown Running, Bainbridge's newest athletic shoe store, is coming soon. 214 East Water Street, Suite 3 in Bainbridge.
Rivertown Running is your athletic shoe and pickleball headquarters in South Georgia. Opening October 1st with a grand opening on Friday, October 4th, Rivertown Running is getting ready to serve South Georgia and get you moving. Stay tuned for more details as we approach the opening of Rivertown Running, 214 East Water Street in Bainbridge.